Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, Christopher Sweeney.
Hello, Alan Cumming, and welcome to your weekly fix of Homo sapiens.
Ah, I've missed it so.
Consider it your vitamin hit of wonderful queer assortments and delights.
Of cornucopia. I could do with the vitamin hit of queer cornucopia because it's raining a lot in British Columbia, I have to
say. Oh, no.
Which is, of course, it must as nature. It's part of a rainforest. Did you realise that?
I did
not. It's part of a, not a tropical rainforest, the other kind of rainforest. But yeah, this is, so no wonder it rains. But it's also, there's beauty in rain. There's beauty in wetness. Oh. I'm sure you've discovered over the years.
Once in a while, you know, when I'm on the top of my game. And Alan, who are we talking to today?
We're talking to a fascinating young person named Travis Alabanza,
mm-hmm.
who is a performer and playwright and sort of performance artist, I would say. Just an all-round general fascinating trans femme, non-gender conforming young person living in the British Isles.
Yes.
But we're going to find out all about this bit about them and their work, because there's some really fascinating things have happened to them. And I'm hopefully going to have a good laugh as well.
Yes. The Guardian called them the future of theatre.
Well, they should know.
Exactly. And they are the youngest person to be awarded a residency at the Tate.
Aha, that's right. That's a big deal.
And as you...
wouldn't that be nice if that meant you got an apartment at the Tate Modern? I'd love it. Can I have a residency at the Tate?
And you had a little free food in the restaurant.
Oh, and that cafe. I'd love that.
Yeah.
And you could I could walk Lala in the Grand Turbine Hall.
Oh, you could, couldn't you?
Wouldn't that be great? That'd be a great place to live. Oh, they should shut that museum down and make it into apartments.
Careful what you wish for.
God, I know.
And as you were saying earlier, Travis is kind of funny, and like you said, it's hilarious that Travis managed to make an art show out of having a burger thrown at them, which obviously was a very, it was a sad event, but...
Yes, but I think that, I love that about actually quite a lot of the trans people we've spoken to recently, that's a sort of a theme in their work. They take something really awful that's happened to them, something really negative and quite aggressive, and they made some lemonade with it. And Travis is walking along the road, I'm dying to hear the story, and someone threw a burger. Mm. And I'm like, what kind of burger? Was it a cheeseburger? Maybe it's a vegan. I hope it wasn't a vegan burger. I sense it wasn't. I don't think vegans throw their burgers at people, not at trans people anyway.
They really don't. They seem to be more clued up.
Yes. And then they would use their vegan, aiming their vegan things at people more worthy of their ire than the lovely Travis. So yeah, I'm really fascinated. I think it's going to be fun.
Please press play, Mr. DJ.
You know where you heard it first. Coming up, here's an interview with Travis Alabanza. Hello, Travis.
Hi.
Hi, Travis.
Hi.
We are so excited to see you.
It's so cool. Hi, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. First of all, let's talk about your outfit, because it's stupendous.
It's stupid, you're right, isn't it?
It's got its black and white sort of oblongs dress.
Wow, it's a top with a little skirt.
Oh, it's a top with a skirt, a black and white and a belt.
Has it got words on it?
Yeah, it's If you were up close, it's fancy. It just says Calvin Klein. It just lets them know that I dressed up for you all, you know?
thank you.
But Travis, how are you? Where are you?
I'm in Bristol, in the southwest of England, pretending I live on a farm now because it's like the change of like from London to Bristol, but I don't. I live right in the centre of Bristol. It just feels like a bit of a... I'm in like a pocket of Bristol that feels like it's, I don't know, like a community. It's very like small. It's where I grew up. And so, yeah, I kind of am one of those London expats from the lockdown that like spent spent lockdown one in London and then was like, if there is a lockdown two, my blood pressure can't take it again. So I need to jet to where like my mum's near and my friends are near. So I moved to Bristol. Mm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And how are you enjoying it being back in your...
I'm loving it. It's like, you know, I was trying to say it to someone like in London, I feel like... How do I describe it? Like in London, I feel like when something's going up the fan or like something's like, you know, someone's coming at you or you've got a trouble, you've got to think about like getting a tube, a bus or a tube to like the friend's house where you feel safe. Whereas what I love about Bristol is I'm like 10 minutes away from anyone that I can feel safe with. And I just think that right now in this time, that's what I needed, you know?
I once did a play at Bristol Old Vic 1,000 years ago and I had rented this wee house and it was right next to a city farm.
Yes, that's right near me. That's 10.
Is it?
Yes, that's about a 10-minute walk and a nine-minute slope, a like fast-paced walk and a 6-minute cycle from my house. I went there the other day. I went there the other day on a date.
Did you? Nice. Yeah. How was the date?
It's the last day I'm going on with them, but it was nice to see the animals.
Every cloud, eh?
Exactly. I was like, you know what? This was good because I'm going to take another day to this farm. This reminded me that this farm exists. I love the city farm.
Me too. It was so nice. I stayed there for a couple of months. Oh my God, centuries ago. When was it? Like 1989. Oh gosh, you know what? I also, what's the name of the theatre? Not the Old Vic, but the other one, like the Hippodrome, is it?
Hippodrome, Tobacco Hippodrome. Factory, Coastal, yeah.
Because I did this thing for Sky TV, I think, called Urban Secrets or something like that. And I went around all these different cities. And one of the secret things I did in Bristol was I got to go up to the top of that theatre and unwind the thing. And the ceiling, the dome, came apart. No, it didn't go like that. It came across like that. So you wind it and the roof opens. And it still does it, and they never do it. So actually, in the theatre, sometimes you could be sitting there, and suddenly, like, just sunshine above you.
Wow!
Oh, God.
Isn't that amazing?
That's major.
That's an urban secret.
I won't tell anyone.
What's the dating scene like in Bristol?
God, we're going. Like, I was thinking.
If you haven't been for a while, you're like, here we go.
Well, I haven't went on a date for a while too. Do you know what? As soon as it was weird, like I had all of these like lockdown. Because I drove to Bristol like as soon as lockdown lifted and I had in lockdown I like did all these like cliche new things about myself. I stopped smoking for the first time in 10 years. I didn't drink alcohol. I was I was like not thinking about sex. All of this. As soon as my friend drove me like past the Welcome to Bristol sign, I had a rollie, a cider, and swiped right to a boy that looked like he was in an indie band. As soon as I went past the scene, and I feel like. Kind of like it's hard what is dating in this time, but I do feel like you know, I've done well in the last 10 years to not date many people in bands, and 3 out of the 4 people I've been on dates with in the last 2 months, they all really? Say they're in a band. So I don't Bristol know what that's sounds. Saying about me. Yeah, it's very Bristol. I feel like a cliche. I think I'm gonna get a stick and poke tattoo next week, who knows.
It's so funny that, isn't it, how I have that with like people I went to school with who I knew when I was younger. I can be the best behaved as soon as I see them. I'm smoking and like I just revert to that person.
Honestly, and like I think, you know, now that I know I'm staying here, I've got to make some more long-term like shifts to like myself, and I can't just keep on being like, I'm back home in Bristol, let me act like an 18-year-old again. But it was that like the first, but I also think it was that like release of like so much pressure and like keeping yourself together in lockdown that like I went past and my friend turned around to me and was like, I can't believe you've not smoked for like this long. And I said, I can't either. Do you have any baccy? And it was just there, you know? Well, I think it's like, I don't know about you, but has it brought up some old habits for you? Like it's brought up a lot of old habits at the beginning to then push me to make new ones. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like my habits when stuff is unsure or like things aren't certain is that then like I become obsessive in like one really small part of my life or whatever. And so I've had to really fight the urge to go into old habits. And I think it's been like a real test to like try and really accept when you don't know when something's going to, what's going to happen, you know, and I relax into that. Try to, you know.
Someone said this thing about dealing with things like a global pandemic is that you crack along your usual fissures first. So the areas that you would break normally, they go first when you're going through something massive. So that's why we're all smoking, basically.
Great. I'm going to tell that to my mum.
And then what happened?
Full breakdown.
Oh.
I thought there was more of a point to the thesis there. First of all, we crack in the usual fissures. And then, nothing. Just like,
well, just because Travis was saying, you know, you go back to your... I was talking about... And I was like, it's like all this old stuff. And she was like, well, that's because you crack along the fissures that exist in you anyway. So you go back there first.
Yes.
Before, you know.
You're right. Because that's the first place I went to. When things started, you know, I was on tour when the lockdown was called. We had to get the flight back. And the first thing I was thinking of, even though I knew my situation had changed, was I thought, I've got no money. I've got no food. I've got this. Like all of my old triggers around poverty and all of that came the first time I got that email saying, we're sorry, we're postponing that next show. And you're right, those first 2 weeks were about like trying to untrain yourself that that's not where you are now, that this is different, that this is a different thing, you know?
Such a weird thing, isn't it?
Have you been writing during this time?
If you asked me that a month ago, I would have said, fuck off. But recently, I feel like I'm back. You know, I wanted to learn how to rest, if I'm honest. I wanted to learn how to like actually not produce anything. What does it mean to like not have an output and like actually stop? So that was my main goal. Like I turned off my emails for a few months. I said to people that I was going to try and just take a chill. And then I said to myself, September, I would get back into work and like try and figure out what that means. So yeah, September I've been writing, but I really wanted to try and not romantic. I think so often we romanticize trauma straight away before we've even processed it. We're like, you know, we're like, this bad thing's happening. Oh my God, I'm going to be able to write out. Oh my God, I can make this show. Oh my God, I can. And I was like, that's what you've done so many times. Can you try a different thing?
So you're making me think of something that I've heard you say, Travis, which is like, because we all went through that thing together, you know, COVID, we all had to... we could share it. And actually normally when we have problems, they're quite personal and you have to reveal them to people. And I remember you saying something around like people won't ask for help when they're in trouble. And that was slightly to do with your burgers show. Am I right?
Yeah. I can't remember what I said yesterday, but I think that, I think that.
I'll remember that bit. So when you said you no longer smoke.
But you know, well, I think that, as a society and as people, we're like really structured to not only not ask for help, but think that help is a sign of weakness or failure. Yeah. As if help isn't like the most natural thing, right? Like, and we are built to make be only succeed by like being on our own track. And what I think, you know, it's hard. You have to do all the prefaces of like, obviously COVID isn't a good thing. None of these things are good that all these people are dying and they're suffering. However, obviously, there's always lessons in shit that happens. And, you know, when I saw the streets of people suddenly talking to each other, offering to get food for people, saying, I actually need this, or I've got this, can you get this? I remember, like, during the general election, my street that I was living on in London, none of us were talking to each other. We were all just putting up our different stickers of who we were voting for and no conversation. And suddenly, this lockdown starts and I'm having all of these conversations between gardens and walls with these people who are saying, I need help. And I don't want to romanticize it in this like washy liberal way, but there is something in that. You know, there is something in saying, fuck, when shit's hitting the pan, you can't do it by yourself. And it's actually not this humiliating thing to ask for help. It's a natural thing to ask for help.
Yes. Yes, and we've been so inured to that notion. We're not. We're told it's not. I agree. The whole thing of weakness, and although actually, you know, in Britain, to some extent, especially compared to, you know, in the United States of America, where I'm based mostly, there at least there still is a safety net there for that very purpose. You know, there is a way you can ask for help, whereas here you're just. It definitely is seen as a weakness. I wanted to talk a bit about burgers, because I'm really fascinated by, like, so for those of people listening, Travis wrote this play called Burgers after, I mean, are inspired by when you're walking along the street and someone threw a burger at you. Can you just talk us through what was going on there and what I'm actually curious about what kind of burger it was, what you're wearing. I just want the details.
Alan was like, was it vegan?
No, it wasn't vegan, and I don't make it a vegan burger in the show, even though I should know my audience. I should probably make a vegan burger.
We were like a vegan wouldn't throw a burger.
That's right, I'm sure it wasn't a vegan.
Well, put it this way, they weren't asking for my number, I can tell you that. No, so I was you know, it's funny because the show was on tour up until lockdown happened. We were in Brazil. So the show's been going for like 2 years. It's nice because the last time I was in Bristol was doing the show at Bristol Old Vic for a week as well.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, so it was nice when you mentioned that as well. I loved being in that theatre.
That's such a beautiful theatre. It's gorgeous. Frank Matcham, isn't it, designed.
And growing up in Bristol, you know, Bristol Old Vic was the one that you were like, I couldn't go in. I wasn't posh enough to go in, but you would be like, oh my God, I want to be in Bristol Old Vic, you know? Mm. And so when I went in, I was like, I remember I wore a really nice gown for the opening night because I was like, this is happening. Like,
amazing.
But no, the show was actually 2016 is when the incident happened. So there is a bit of distance between like talking about it now. You know, I'm saying the jokes about it now, but obviously when it happened, it was quite intense. Like I was on Waterloo Bridge, which for people that don't know is like the main bridge in central London. You know, it's where Somerset House is, London Eye. I was walking from Somerset House and then I had a gig at the South Bank. I was on a panel or something and I was dressed to the nines, you know. I was in a gorgeous little pink tight mini dress with a big collar, some yellow glasses and a pastel blue, like very giving like pastel 1950s housewife kind of vibe. That was the fantasy. I was in it, walking on in my own little world, midday, you know.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Did you have a handbag?
Yes, Like it was like a little pastel blue one here. It was gorgy.
Amazing.
And a little white heel. So it was very like, you know, you can picture it.
Class.
You know, It was stunning. And I was walking across, and that bridge already makes you think you're in a music video. It doesn't matter what you're wearing, that bridge. Do you know what I mean? Like, you walk through that bridge and you're like, shit, I'm really that girl. And let alone that outfit. And so I'm walking, I'm in my fantasy, and then I just like feel like this huge thud on my shoulder. And I turn around and I kind of don't, you know, didn't really picture. And then I just hear the words, you know, they shouted the T words at me, you know, really loudly, and it kind of took me a minute, you know. I was like, wait, and then I see the mayonnaise on my dress because it had stained. And I look, and in Waterloo Bridge it has the middle section, like where people can, you're not really meant to be, but you could be if you're there. And I just see this guy like staring at me and like there. Wow. And a burger box, and I kind of am like, oh. And so then I just pause and kind of look around, and people kind of stopped and looked, then they looked at me, and then this is the thing that doesn't get in the show, but I guess I was in shock. I just stopped and I carried on walking, and I just kind of like was like, and I didn't do anything, and no one else, because no one else was doing anything. And so then I just carried on. And so the show is kind of looking at that moment of like, why do we not do anything? Why did I not do anything? Why did he do this? Why did no one do anything? So
Was the man across the other side of the street? He was in the middle, in the central thing.
Yeah. He kind of moved over to the middle. Yeah.
So you, and this happened, and people saw, and you walked on, and nobody said, are you okay?
No one. So the show, there's some spoiler alerts, but the show, luckily, I mean, when we do it, when the show comes back in 2014, when we're allowed a live show again. but someone did look into my eye and kind of give me a look. I've thought about that look a lot. I'm not sure if it was like a, do you need me to do something? And then because I carried on, they didn't. But there was one person that looked into my eye. But, you know, well, busy good. Street. Yeah. No one said anything. Lots of men around that could have said things to other men. But they didn't. And so the show really doesn't really, for me, I didn't want to make a show where I don't really talk about the event because I didn't want a show that goes, here are all the bad things that happened to me. That's like a really relevant show for some people. But for me, I was making the show for a purpose of like, there's too much apathy in this world. There's too many people walking past. I want to make a show where we recreate the situation, and I've hopefully taken an hour to make sure that everyone stops everybody from doing anything. So in the show, it's set in a kitchen, like a working kitchen. I start to make a burger, and I invite a random white cisgender man from the audience every night to make the burger with me. And we make a burger every night, and we talk about malehood, masculinity, the event, gender. And at the end of the show, after the burger,
he takes part in it. He talks too.
Yes. It's all improvised every single night.
Oh, wow.
So some of it's scripted, but he's new every night. I ask the house lights go up. I ask for a volunteer. I said, who wants to cook this burger with me? And all these like young queers put their hand up because they're keen. I go, oh no, sorry for this one. I'm going to need a white man. And you sign like two men and their girlfriends like push their arms up.
Oh.
And they come on stage and they cook a burger with me. And they don't know where it's going, but I know where it's going. And then we recreate the moment and we see if anyone stops it from happening every night.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you make him throw the burger?
Well, if no one stops it, then he throws it.
Oh my God. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah. So it's like becomes more about what it takes for people, because I realized that British theatre, like, I asked loads of people after. I was like, why don't you do anything when something's going on? And they'd be like, oh, I don't know if it's my business. I don't know if I should. I don't know. And I said, oh, that sounds like how British audiences feel in a theatre. they never laugh that loud. They're never actually, oh, you know, they're so stiff. And I was like, wait, so maybe bystandering on a tube in public, etc., could be like recreated in the sense of a British theatre audience.
I love that.
Awkwardness of like, okay, I want to stop something because this feels wrong. I'll need to go against my social knowledge of how I feel. You know, British people just like to stay in that to themselves.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to break that.
It's such a surreal moment.
Yeah.
For in any capacity. And I wonder, I mean, I guess that's all the ammunition he had. I mean, it's lucky, I suppose, that he had a burger in his hand.
Well,
much worse.
Well, I think about it a lot, and it actually, like, so with the when the show did a tour of the UK, we did this thing called Trans Talks, where I invited trans audience members before the show to come and eat vegan burger and chips with me, and I'd ask them about their experiences outside. And what we found is we interviewed like 200 or so trans people, and like 40 of them had had food thrown at them in public.
Really?
So for me, it was sad, but also healing to know that like, this moment that I thought was like out of this world enough to make a show was unfortunately like quite a common occurrence for people, you know?
Yes. Because I think what happens so much in life is really shocking things happen to you, and you just, there's something in you that pulls you into like, don't react, keep moving or whatever. And then you're like, oh, it like honestly can hit me 2 days later.
Exactly that. Because I was with, you know, I was with my partner at the time. And I remember, like, I got home from work and they were like, how was your day? I was like, yeah, good, thank you. How was yours? And they were like, yeah, good. And they were like, you sure you're good? And I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, actually, someone threw a burger at me. And, like, we both kind of laughed. And then I remember the next day, typical me, I was like, I've got an issue with you. You laughed when I'd said I threw a burger. And they were like, well, you laughed. You made it a thing. And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. We were both just a bit like, what do you do when someone does
how
that?
How do you react to that?
You know, you get Arts Council funding. That's how you react.
Bravo.
I think we're taught from films that you're meant to be really perfect at the response. And actually, I think I try and remind myself that it's okay to return to something 2 days later and go, I had a problem with that. And that's not me being like annoying. It's just like, I'm sorry, but that's how long it takes occasionally.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Absolutely. And I think that for me, that show is actually that time to do that, because actually I didn't really think about it straight after. And, you know, I made the quit, but I didn't think about making a show until 2 years after it happened. And it wasn't until it was a year or so later, I was in a bit more of a close call when it came to a physical altercation on the streets of how I look. And after that, all I could think about was when the burger was thrown. I wasn't thinking about this moment that was
more violent or dangerous.
More dangerous and a bit more of like a, oh, there's not really a funny way to tell this story. Like didn't have the image, didn't have the pastel pinks, didn't have the mayonnaise, you know, it was a bit more like, oh crap, like...
Less glam.
Yeah, there's less glam in Knife Point, I'll tell you that. But I think if all of this stuff is happening to you, and I have a choice, you know, like you've seen it, the first thing we said was look at my outfit, like I can either choose to reduce how I am or be like, this might happen, but you've got to find a way to keep it moving, you know?
Yeah, and that's one of the things I love about you is that you're really fun and funny and upbeat. And I think that sometimes I've heard you say this as well, but like sometimes I feel like the trans community are pulled into a heavy chat the whole time, and it's like that it's so one dimensional. And actually, I'm not just someone who pops up on Newsnight to defend some stupid argument. You're full of so much laughter and fun, and that's what I love about you.
Yeah, and it's exactly that, like. There is something, it's not that it's funny that someone threw a burger at you, but there is something funny about how, for me, what is going on in the world that I must be able to make such a reaction for you that you have left the food that you had bought. And it's central London, so that's going to cost a bit.
That's £9.
Yeah, exactly. You've given your mortgage away in this burger to throw at me. That there's something funny in that, because what's going on, you know?
And also I think, well, two things. I think also that, you know, the way this that sort of trans sort of coverage always tends to be about the bad things, the negative things, and the sort of, and also, of course, rightly so, because there's been so much of that of late, especially in Britain. Well, everywhere, of course, but also I feel that that kind of shadows the sort of the joy of trans, of trans people, and the kind of the laughter and the great and the sense of community and the solidarity. You know, we don't hear enough about that because of that the other side.
So, I mean, you must know from being in the business, you must have met so many joyous trans people influencing your career and life all the time, right? I bet.
Absolutely.
And I feel like, yes, there's all this pain. And yes, we still can't go outside and not have things thrown at us. And yes, there are all these people debating us and talking about us in that way. But I think when you decide to literally say you are not the gender you were told, you have... Trans people are some of the most joyful people I know and have such ability to be like bring levity and quick-wittedness, because nothing requires quick wit than like literally changing your gender. You know, like it's a ride. And, you know, it's a lot. And I think that there is so much joy, but also it's like, I think for me, the frustration has is because the coverage of us isn't controlled by us, it's controlled by other people. They decide the beat that we're in at. Whereas I first met trans people in nightclubs. I first met us when we were lighting up rooms with like talent and joy and laughter and performance. That's when I realized I was trans, when I met other people in clubs. And there's so much joy there that you don't get to see in that conversation, you know?
Haha, isn't this great fun? God, I love Travis. That's the end of part one, but there's more coming in part two. You know what to do. Head over to the feed, click part two.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Powered by Spirit Studios.